Hi, this is Mark Giordano. Catch every game all season long on Calgary Flames Radio, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Calgary Flames Hockey is brought to you by Rocky Mountain Equipment and Shane Holmes.
The questions you're asking, the answers you're craving. It's three burning questions on the big show, only on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, Pat Steinberg along with you here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Josh Humphries is back at Sportsnet 960 World Control, and he's got our three burning questions today. Josh, let's go.
All right, question number one. Back end last night for the Calgary Flames. Everybody kind of stepping their game up. Who impressed you the most?
TJ Brody continues to impress me the most. I know Weidman played the most minutes, and Engelund was the story because he played 22. I don't think it's any coincidence that Engelund had his best game of the season playing with TJ Brody. Brody elevates guys, and he elevated Engelund last night. The two games Brody has played without Giordano in the lineup, even more underlining as to just how good that contract looks right now. Flames have got a straight-up stud in TJ Brody, and he was a stud last night, and he set up the overtime winner to boot. So Brody was the guy who impressed me the most.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that as well. Do want to ask about Derek Engelund, no question number two. Is he a guy that can keep up playing that pace all season long or for the rest of the season?
I would be skeptical. I don't think the foot speed is where you want it to be for him to be playing 22 minutes a game against an all team. So it was good last night, and it might happen a couple of other teams, but long term, no, I don't think the 22 minutes from Engelund is where you want him. You hope that maybe Schlemko can come in and play a little bit more. You know, maybe it's Wotherspoon at some point. I don't know. But I don't think you want Engelund playing 22 minutes per game for the final 19 games of the season.
Yeah, definitely definitely want to be wary of that going in, but he did well last night. Final question, we'll keep it all Calgary Flames for this one. Surprised that Sean Monahan has once again matched his goal total from last season?
Well, if you would have asked me this in September or October, I would have said yes, but seeing him play throughout the season, I would say no. The reason why I thought Monahan might have some issues in terms of getting back to that goal totals is because his shooting percentage was going to come down, and it has come down. But what Monahan has done, and what has really impressed me, is he's just been a more impactful player. He's going to finish with far more shots this year than he did last year. He's already surpassed his shot total last year. And we've still got 19 games to go this year. And he's also just, he's more of an impactful player in every area of the ice. He's generating more shots off his stick. He's generating more offense and more shot attempts, period. He's just a more impactful player. I saw him taking a step. I just didn't think it would be this big a step. And so now that I've seen Monahan play this year, I'm not surprised he's at 22 because he's been that good.
I'm just a little bit surprised that he got that goal total. And again, I know it's different when they come to the NHL, but never really a big goal scorer in junior hockey.
That's a fair point, too.
And now he's got back-to-back 22-goal seasons, and chances are he's going to get more than 22 this season. He's going to be, you know, near the 25-26 mark by the time this season's done if he continues at this pace. So I'm just surprised that he did it because, yeah, this guy never really was a goal scorer. He's more of a setup guy in junior.
He's going to have to be huge for him down the stretch, too.
Absolutely.
If they're going to want to be in when it's all said and done. Took some open phone calls a little earlier as we wrap up the segment. Want to take a couple of more calls, and right now we go to caller. Randy's on the line right now. Go ahead, Randy.
Hey, Pat, f*** off. Bring back Rob.
And that's how we'll wrap up. Just because we got a couple of requests for it earlier, I had to play it. We finally found it. I was trying to play it and trying to find it while we were doing the call-in segment because I thought that would have been funnier just to throw everybody off. But I figured I'd do a little bit of it just there because I got about five requests for it on the text lines. And I'm a man of the people. So, Randy, one more time.
Hey, Pat, f*** off. Bring back Rob.
That'll do it for this hour of the big show. Speaking of Robbie's around the corner, we've got lots to get to as we're here from the Scotiabank Saddledome, the 2015. Tim Hortons Briar continues, and the big show's on location on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan and the Calgary Sport and Social Club have teamed up again to get you into the game. Shake off that winter rust, get into the action. Fan Club members can win a $200 gift card from Calgary Sport and Social Club. Spring League registration is now open. Choose between 15 different indoor and outdoor sports leagues. Register now at calgarysportsclub.com. Meet some new people, get some exercise, have some fun from the Calgary Sport and Social Club and Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Want to know why more Alberta businesses choose Alberta Blue Cross for their employee group benefits? Not only do we offer the benefits employees prefer, but we also provide an exceptional experience for your employees.
Over 90% of our claims are direct billed, and we provide online and mobile-friendly claiming options. We deliver the fastest claim processing in the industry. We make plan administration simple. We deliver unbeatable value and real customer service. Discover the Alberta Blue Cross Advantage for your business. Call us today.
When it comes to hockey, it's all about skills and having fun. Start them young and teach them right. Sylvan Lake Hockey Camp is the place to get that great hockey experience. From novice to junior and every age category in between, visit sylvanlakehockeycamp.com for registration info. Sportsnet 960 The Fan and Sylvan Lake Hockey Camp want you to win a tuition certificate for the Sylvan Lake Hockey Camp for your son or daughter. Listen for Rob Kerr's Minor Hockey Player of the Week during the Big Show, and he'll announce a winner every Friday. Enter now at sportsnet.ca/960.
In Canada, we're no strangers to winter. It's our longest season, but it's almost over. It's time to shake off that cabin fever and get outdoors where you belong. And at Wholesale Sports, we're making it easier than ever to find a great deal on hunting, fishing, and camping gear with our Cabin Fever clearance sale. Starting March 5th, it's up to 50% off store-wide. We tag them, you bag them. Only at Canada's Outdoor Outfitter, Wholesale Sports.
What type of advertiser counts on Sportsnet 960 to deliver results? All types.
Hello, this is Alameen from Okotoks Honda. It's helped us tremendously because we're reaching markets in Calgary, Okotoks, and surrounding areas that we never had access to before.
Would you recommend Sportsnet 960 to other advertisers?
I would recommend Sportsnet 960 to other advertisers, and actually I have recommended them. It's helped us tremendously, and I'm sure it'll help you.
Advertising on Sportsnet 960 works for Okotoks Honda. Call the Sportsnet 960 sales department at 291-0000.
Rob and Pat are hitting the road. The boys are fired up for the Tim Hortons Briar. Live it live. The guys will be at the Dome today from 12 to 6. Big event for Calgary, and the big show is on it. Go to calgary.ca for the results of every draw and a list of what's coming up each day. Hockey Central and the big show live at the Tim Hortons Briar. Only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Talk to your boss. It's totally okay to stream Sportsnet 960 all day and night on your work computer. In fact, it's new company policy. Sportsnet.ca/960. You're listening to CFAC 960 AM, Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Live from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Owned and operated by Rogers Media. Also streaming at sportsnet.ca/960.
We turned too many pucks over. Now, like first period, I don't think that we had a turnover. In second period, you know, I thought that we were running a bakery. Now, we were turning pucks over way too much. And when suddenly, it's human nature. Team keeps coming. They generated lots of chances. They had confidence, and we were just defending. So. It's not our style, it's not in our DNA to be on our heels, but we created this with kind of poor puck management. We addressed this morning.
...40 minutes, but then fell on hard times and nearly gave it up to the Philadelphia Flyers. If it weren't for a legitimately overturned goal call, this game doesn't go to overtime. It does, and the Flames do what the Flames do in overtime. All they do is find a way to win in overtime, picking up... what was this? This was... I got the wrong page open. Ninth overtime win. Yep. Ninth overtime win.
12th extra time win.
Ninth overtime win. Yeah, it's something else, the way they're... Considering how historically bad this team was for almost a decade in overtime, and now they seem to win it. They get a very important 2 points last night, and Pat, that was Bob Hartley talking about it. I wrote two things down. I mean, a win is a win, right? Without Mark Giordano, fact that they didn't add anything at the deadline, they are who they are what they are. Are we really in the business of critiquing the wins on the road right now, or do you take the 2 points, move on, and play Boston?
I mean, I guess it depends. I personally look at that one. I think there's a lot of ominous and rather troubling signs right now for the Flames, but I think that the overall feel is that you need the 2 points and take the money and run when you get them. So my message last night was, yeah, you gave up a two-goal lead. Yeah, it could have been a whole lot worse, but you got the 2 points, and you know what? Put it in the win category and file it away and move on to Boston. So I'm more of the, you know what? move on, forget about it. Let's not.
But you can't say that though, because you started that whole thing off by saying it's ominous, dark clouds on the horizon.
It is, and yet who knows if those, like, there could be dark clouds on the horizon, but lots of times they never, you know, open up.
So,
you know, I don't like the way the Flames have been playing the last, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, but they're in a playoff spot right now. They've only got 19 to go, so if they can somehow win, you know, 12 of their last 19 or whatever they need to go to be into the playoffs. I don't even know what it would be. But if they can do that, then who cares what the signs say right now? You get the 2 points when and you move on to the next game.
Because in fairness, I did say there was two things that I wrote down. One is a win is a win, and I get that. But I also wrote down sustainable and that question mark, and that's that word that has been around and dogged this team kind of all season long on many different, you know, we've talked about it in terms of their save percentage. We talked about it in their shooting percentage. We talked about it in their ability to rally in third periods and all kinds of. But the sustainability I'm talking about is more in terms of what they trotted out and asked their top three defensemen to do last night. I mean, look, Dennis Wyman, who was terrific this morning on the morning show, and we do need to talk about this guy. We really do. 29 minutes and 25 seconds, and I go, wow, oh, well, that must be – no, that's not a season high. He played more than that on Friday. We talked about T.J. Brody, his ice time. Derek Englund, boy, oh, boy, plus 10 minutes and 25 seconds over his average last night. Is that sustainable? I don't know. But here's the number. We can get into that conversation, Pat, but this is the one thing that really caught my eye today, and that was down 4 minutes and 50 seconds. You know who that was?
Rafa Diaz.
Yeah.
He went way down. And that's what was surprising, because the first number that jumps out at you, you know, Will, the producer on the game last night, he goes, Patty, did you see 22 minutes for England? I'm like, yeah, that sounds about right, because you saw him
out there.
So I'm like, that must mean that Weidman and Brody and Russell's numbers were down. But you go take a look at them, they're basically the same as what they played Friday, the first game they played without Giordano. No, but Diaz's numbers came way down, and Potter didn't go up at all.
But the interesting thing about Potter, and this speaks to the utilization, is he played more 5-on-5 than Diaz. Diaz had .112 in power play time. He played just over 5 minutes of even strength time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a guy that, and I'm not picking on him, but he has been interesting and in my sights all year, because there were times in December where I thought it wasn't going to work, and Bob Hartley stuck with him and showed confidence, and he got minutes, and he became part of that first power play unit, and he really seemed like a guy that the coach trusted. But what I see here is it's 4D-men, and I go back to sustainability. So we've talked about shooting percentage, and we've talked about save percentage. This is why I asked the question I asked yesterday, and there's no answer to it, because you can't go back in hindsight, and we can't make a logical, you know, correlation between what they could have had or might have had or anything. But I'm beginning to wonder and worry a little bit that maybe they should have done more at the deadline in terms of a defenseman. Now, Schlemko hasn't played, so let's put that, and it looks like he's going to play tomorrow, according to Derek.
Still no official word as to whether or not he's
going
to play.
Okay, I'm just going off what Derek told me, so if he doesn't play, just blame Derek, which is normally what we do, right?
Absolutely.
You know, when players don't play when they're supposed to play.
Derek's note was Schlemko may play. So that's
really?
The,
yeah. Can't we just go with Derek guaranteed it?
I'm all for.
Okay,
Derek, I'm all for accuracy and not throwing people under the bus.
No, but you know, it's
our promotions team.
And in fairness,
under the bus anytime.
And in fairness, we'll play itself out and let. But that's the one thing when I talk about sustainability, I'm just wondering about the minutes. And we knew that they had, you know, a really good top three. We knew they had a really good four, and then it seemed to break down from there. What will it look like in back-to-back situations? Against, you know, the Boston Bruins should be grumpy, and the Detroit Red Wings are a puck possession chase team. So potentially two different styles. Anyway, we should mention that we are here at the Dome, which is not unusual for us. What's unusual for us is we find ourselves on the concourse today.
Don't even know what this. I'm not familiar with this particular area of the Saddle Dome.
I very rarely make it this way.
What is this right here?
That's a washroom, Pat.
What?
Yeah. And they have another one down there, too. They're green and red. You just have to kind of pay attention.
Which one can I use?
You know what? Figure it out. you'll make that mistake once, maybe twice.
I'm not used to being here on the concourse. It's quite disarming.
Now, speaking of not being used, this is the first time that you and I have ever worked together on a remote that we had things to give away.
Yes.
We don't have those things
you
to give away.
You never even got the luxury to give them away.
Now, the last Breyer that was in Calgary, I ended up with an entire bag.
Well, you know
full
what? That's not true.
No, I know. I was getting to those.
Okay.
Because let's be perfectly honest, one is far more important than the other. But having said that, we do actually have things. We do actually have, and we've never really given away things on a remote before. Like, I don't know how do we do this. So are we looking for people coming up saying, I listen to Sportsnet 960, now show me your cowbell or whatever, and they'll get a free cowbell? Is that how this works? Or do we have to account for the, is this another one
Do they have to make, like, a reference of,
is this another?
I put my pants on one leg at a time. The only difference is when my pants are on, I make gold records. Like, do they have to reference something like that?
No.
No?
No.
Do you know what my reference is from?
Is that from Saturday Night Live?
That was my awful Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken, more cowbell?
I'll really explore the space.
Right. Well.
It's actually not as bad a Christopher Walken as I thought it was going to be.
No, it's bad. Having said that, we do have a lot of cowbells, so if you're...
You don't like to have fun.
I don't like to have fun, Pat. I mean, you listen to the morning show? Now, those guys like to have fun.
Anyway, we have branded Sportsnet 960 cowbells.
Which is shocking to me.
From cowbells.com.
Thecowbells.com or acowbells.com?
Didn't know there was such a website. They're made in Ningbo, China.
So we are out of pins.
But we do have cowbells.
But we have cowbells. So if you're coming down sometime today.
We're going to get people from the stands coming out saying, guys, you're talking too loud.
No, I know that.
Keep it down.
From the stands, we're going to have people coming off the sheets of ice telling us to keep it down.
Yeah, Kevin Cooey's going to smack us with his brush.
So we have some cowbells to give away?
Some.
Okay.
Let's see if I can give you a scope of just how many we have. That's how many we have in terms of cowbells to give away.
Well, that's a good, I think that's a really good audio description of what we have to work with this afternoon. Now, they're either here to sell you 50-50, Pat, or they'd like a cowbell.
Would you guys want a cowbell, or do you want?
Yeah.
Oh, the 50-50 is up to almost $6,000, is what they're saying.
You know what, that's a really good American NHL game.
Yes,
$6,000. $6,000. This is what it starts at a Flames game, so it'll grow and grow and grow. But anyway, come on by. If you find us, you can certainly have a cowbell.
By the way, for those asking what section we're in, we're right in front of section 101, 102 on the concourse.
Why don't you just tell them we're underneath the TV?
We're right in front of section 101, 102 near the west entrance, right in front of the southwest exit. If you'd like to
You say I don't like it to have fun. Here's my 20-year-old Simpsons reference.
Had no
we're
interest.
Now under the sun. Now.
No interest in the Saturday Night Live references.
But I didn't understand it was Chris Walken.
I thought it was pretty clear. Like, that was a direct quote from that skit.
Yeah, well, I got it. I just didn't understand you were Chris Walken in it.
Really explore the space.
Northern Ontario leading the way here at the Breyer. They're 8-0. Newfoundland and Labrador. Brad Gushue's ranked. They're 6-2. But Johnny Moe's ranked. They made a little switch, right? Johnny Moe drops back to third.
Yep.
New skip. They're at 5-3. Quebec's at 5-3. Saskatchewan's at 4-2. Kevin Cooey of Alberta 3-3. Manitoba 3-3. So outside of the Northwest Territories, which is 0-7.
And lost again this morning.
And New Brunswick 1-6. Prince Edward Island. Okay. Ontario a little bit of a surprise, perhaps at 2-4. Traditionally a power. British Columbia 3-4. So that's how it looks right now. Do we want to give scores? Are we allowed to do that, or
sure.
Is that play
by
play?
We're now like I think we're into the third end, so we got our scores after two.
Okay.
Team Canada has a 1-0 lead on Ontario, so that's Johnny Moe's rink.
Right.
Kevin Cooey's Alberta rink trails Newfoundland and Labrador 2-1 after two. Manitoba trails Quebec 2-1 after two, and Northern Ontario and Saskatchewan tied 1-1 after two. Every game is in the third end right now.
So the important things to know. Team Canada back in it. We're out of pins, but we have cowbells.
A lot of them.
And Pat does a mean Christopher Walken.
I would say a passable Christopher Walken.
Can you name five Christopher Walken movies?
Suicide Kings?
And I'm not saying I can, but I know a couple of the older ones that you probably won't get.
I honestly don't know if I'm going to be able to get very many off the top of my head.
Okay.
Suicide Kings had him and Jay Moore in it, and that was a good movie.
Mm-hmm. I believe he was in The Deer Hunter.
He wasn't. I would have gotten to Deer Hunter.
You would have gotten there. I'm sorry. He was in the movie with The Rock.
Probably wouldn't have gotten there.
You wouldn't have gone there.
He was in
Runaway. No.
What? Rundown. He was
Thank
in.
You.
Wasn't he in Wayne's World? Wasn't he? Wasn't he? Josh, was he in Wayne's World? Wasn't he the bad manager of Tia Carrera in Wayne's World? I'm pretty sure Christopher Walken was in Wayne's World. I got three so far. So
okay, no, you're
I'm
doing.
Pretty okay
and I don't say that with a whole lot more to add to the mix. You know, there's pretty prominent roles though. What are they coming in with?
Seven Psychopaths. I was trying to remember the name of that movie,
okay,
but I couldn't. Seven mm-hmm. Psychopaths. Yep. Pulp Fiction, of course.
Right.
Batman Returns.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
But he was in, can somebody confirm, he was in Wayne's World or Wayne's World 2, correct? Like he was the evil manager of Tia Carrera, who was
Rob Lowe
Wayne's
was.
Love interest.
Hmm. Well, that's what the Twitter, that's what the text line is for, right?
Wayne's World 2, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, okay. We are live at the
Wedding Crashers.
You're well over five. Well done. We are live at Tim Hortons Briar, presented by Secure Tech Monitoring. I believe there are tickets still available. Go to online at curling.ca/tickets. You can pick them up. It's an interesting event if you've never been, and a spectacular one if you've never been in it. It is so Canadian, right? This is, if you've got a Canadian sports bucket list and you've never been to a Briar, then this is clearly something you got to check off.
I agree. This is, it's a pretty cool thing to just come and be, like, live curling is different than television curling. Like, curling is...
Not even close.
Like, you're focused on one match, you're focused on, you know, the ins and outs, and sometimes they'll cut away to the other ones, but you don't really get the idea as to what's going on. But then when you come and watch live, you got four sheets of ice going at the same time.
Yep.
There's, you know, you're talking about, that's 32 dudes all you know, working and going about their business, and there's so much happening simultaneously. It's absolutely something you got to experience live at least once. You'll either love live curling or hate live curling, but I think you got to experience at a Scotties or a Briar at least once, just because it's pretty fun and the atmosphere is pretty cool. And then check out the Briar patch afterwards, and you'll quite enjoy that.
The people say it's pretty good. I, as someone who doesn't like fun, would know, but Pat, who loves fun and encourages fun, has probably spent most of the morning there. Spend most of the evening there.
I came right there.
Right from overtime?
Right from there. And I'll be going right back there after this. Because I'm apparently a drunkard, according to this segment on the podcast.
I didn't say that. There are elements that would point to that, but I never said
right.
that. Lots to do.
We have cowbells.
Yes, we do. Come on by for your cowbells. We will certainly be diving into some of the great topics of the day, including Florida's goaltending situation. Did you watch any of that? Were you able to watch any of that as it was going on?
I didn't get to see it as it was going on. I saw it second screen because you saw all the
emails coming
in, but didn't see it live, but saw the high. I just wanted to see the goaltending coach go in. Like, how much better would that be if the goalie coach goes in and the Panthers beat the Maple Leafs? That would have been the greatest story of all
time.
Well,
it would have added to our other topic today. We've got to spend a little time on the dysfunction around the Maple Leafs, and I mean, it is widespread. It includes that game last night, because stay classy, Toronto. Absolutely. The Maple Leafs website or Twitter page. Would you call that trolling the Panthers?
Yep.
Was that trolling the
I
Panthers?
So.
That was trolling the Panthers. So there's, first, you probably heard of it, but there's some dysfunction amongst the Toronto Maple Leafs.
We'll
players.
Bring it to you first.
Yeah, you won't get it anywhere
don't
else.
Don't tune into any of the national networks, only here.
Because they don't cover the Maple Leafs. Later on, Cassie Campbell will join us from Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada. A lot to do. The East-West Hot Stove as well. We are live at the 2015 Tim Hortons Briar here at the Saddle Dome on your home of the Calgary Flames, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Calling all men who give a damn. If you knew that your small personal donation could be multiplied by 100 to make a large positive impact in your community, would you help? Join Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Pledge your support to an amazing initiative that does just that. 100 Men Who Give a Damn brings together 100 or more guys like you who care about local community causes and want to help.
The next meeting is Tuesday, March 10th.
For all the details and to sign up, visit 100mencalgary.com. Local men, local impact. Proudly supported by Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Big Show, brought to you by Comedy Cave. If it's comedy you crave, come to the Cave. Tickets are always $10. Comedy's so good you'll whip out your funny bone. Go to comedycave.com.
Earn even more points now by liking Sportsnet 960 on Facebook and following us on Twitter. Sign up to become a fan club member now at sportsnet.ca/960. Your chance to score tickets to the biggest games, hottest concerts, and some awesome prizes. Head to sportsnet.ca/960.
Jared here from Jack Carter's. Trigger submitted a vacation request, so we're interviewing temps. I've got a brand new Cadillac ATS down to 28 grand. I've got the Cadillac ATS down to 28 grand. I've priced the ATS at 28 grand. I'm allergic to cats. I've got new Cadillacs for 28 grand. It's just not the same. Jack Carter, Chevrolet, Cadillac, Buick, GMC, the natural choice.
Wednesdays on FX, one of the best shows on television, The Americans, is back with a new season. Kerry Russell and Matthew Rhys star as two Russian spies posing as ordinary citizens and living the American dream. Are they willing to risk everything?
Paige is your daughter, but she belongs to the cause. You haven't forgotten that, have you?
Including their children?
It would destroy her.
Find out on The Americans, Wednesdays at 8, only on FX.
The law firm of Shibley & Company points out that Sunday, March 8th is International Women's Day, and this year's theme is Make It Happen. International Women's Day began in 1911, and although women's equality has made positive gains, the world is still unequal. So on March 8th, help celebrate that social, political, and economic achievements of women. In Canada, there are more than 50 events taking place. If you want to find out more, visit internationalwomensday.com. A reminder from the law firm of Shibley & Company, inspiring change in their community.
Let me ask you an easy question. Do you want your new truck to carry more and tow more than the other guys? Do you want it to do more, like light up your work site and charge your heavy-duty tools? Do you want best-in-class fuel efficiency? Do you want a lease that gets you a brand new truck in 2 years, not 7 or 8? Yeah, I know I said one question. It's this question. Have you seen the all-new 2015 F-150? Come check it out at your Ford store and you'll see it's real easy to get into a Ford. See Ford.ca for details.
Cutting-edge design meets unparalleled performance. Turns out, they're both from the same town in Sweden. Volvo is back, and there's never been a better time to get into one, like the award-winning S60 sedan or the turbocharged V60 sport wagon, now for only $399 a month. Or drive away in a feature-filled XC60 SUV for just $499 a month. Right now at Valentine Volvo, take advantage of lease rates as low as 0.9% on the latest 2015s. Visit 11 Richard Way or valentinevolvo.com for details.
Music, sports, news, entertainment. When it comes to radio, there are more choices for listeners than ever before. And each of these stations want to bring you exactly what you want. At Numeris, we help them do just that. We ask thousands of Canadians what they listen to, and that information allows radio stations to learn what you like. So when Numeris calls, say yes. You will be helping to make your radio and television the best it can be. Visit numeris.ca to learn more. Numeris. Audiences count.
The Flames at 5, weekdays 5 to 6 p.m. on the drive home. Rob Kerr talks hockey for 60 minutes. The Flames beat the National Hockey League, the Hitman, or any trending story in hockey. The Flames at 5, brought to you by Pete the Plumber. Outstanding service, competitive pricing, professional personnel, and proud recipients of the Better Business Bureau's Business Ethics Award and the Consumer Choice Award from 2003 to 2014. Flames at 5, with Rob Kerr, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's your game. It's our passion. Proud to be home for the National Hockey League in Calgary. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
When it starts to get up to pushing towards 30, I try my best not to pick and choose my spots a little bit better and not push it every time. I think that's the main thing. I think when you're down around 24, 25, whatever, you can just go. Maybe hope for some opportunities and jump and push the pace a little bit more. But I think when you get up in the 30 range, then you just gotta. Yeah. If there's a chance to make it an odd man rush with a 4-on-2 or whatever, then you go. If not, then you just kind of hang back.
Kerr Steinberg, The Big Show, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Dennis Weidman, who was a guest with Boomer and Rhett this morning, just wanted to give you a, and these are all numbers, but just to give you a sense of.
of Dennis Weidman. Last night played 29 minutes and 25 seconds. His season high was last Friday. He played 30 minutes and 24 seconds. The NHL's season high is 35 minutes and 21 seconds, and that was P.K. Subban on Valentine's Day against Toronto. Dennis Weidman's career high, and I think everybody remembers this, 38 minutes and 5 seconds against Vancouver last
January 18th.
Funny enough. Pat, what I wanted to come around to was a year ago at this time, this date, I took a look at two games before this date and two games after. And Dennis Weidman was averaging about 17 minutes a game, and he had one game in there where he played 12 minutes and some seconds, and he had one game in there where he played 13. And the reason I bring up all of that time is I think we have seen something with Dennis Weidman that deserves talking about. I think it's real easy in our business or whatever to say, well, this is what that guy is, and that's all. And I'm one of those guys. At the beginning of the year, I have no problem going back to game two up in Edmonton and going, good on the Flames for sitting him out, because he didn't have a great preseason. And, if you're not going to be part of this, you're a big ticket guy, you're either in or you're out. And the Flames sat him then. He has played with Chris Russell most of the year. He has found his offensive touch at times. He got a letter yesterday. I know Bob Hartley talked about it today, that he, talked to Tree Living and talked to the associate coaches and everybody. But I think Dennis Weidman deserves some credit, because he's a big-ticket guy that looked like he was going to be, a bust. Is he value? It's hard to say that he's a value when you just talked about TJ Brody a little while ago and what he's bringing. But I think Dennis Weidman deserves some credit, because I think he has, he's become important for this team, clearly.
When we go back to September and early October for this team, the guy that I thought might be the biggest X factor on this team this year was going to be him.
Okay.
Because from what we saw at the end of last season and what we saw through the preseason, if Dennis Weidman's a number 5-6 defenseman, he's not helping you all that much. And your drop-off is pretty significant from Brody, Geo, and Russell to everybody else. But if Weidman had been able to, and has been able to now that we're 62 games into the season, 63 games into the season, he's been able to make himself on this team a bona fide top four defenseman.
Yep.
And what that has done is made it that there's a whole lot more balance. And that's why I thought he was so important, because we knew what Brody was going to give. We knew he was going to be a top pairing guy. Mm-hmm. We knew Giordano was going to be a top pairing guy. We knew that Russell was going to play his role well on the second pairing. So it was whether or not Weidman could pick up that slack and return to what we had seen him be at the beginning of last season before that injury. And pretty much ever since game two, he's been able to do that.
Yep.
And so to see him play the minutes he played last night and on Friday night is not surprising, because remember, there was a lot made last year of him being number two in the NHL in terms of average ice time. Probably 2 months into the season, in and around there, he had held
absolutely
that
him, so, and Ryan, him and Ryan Suter
so
were one too. Yeah,
he's able to do it. He's used to doing it, and I think he's the guy best suited to play a lot of minutes right now, because he's done it before. And I think what he's done this, I don't think what he's done the last two games is anything more notable than what he's done all season, other than the minutes have been higher. But I think that he's been a very important player just by giving them more balance in their top four.
I think it is a little different because, he got the A, and I think that's notable. I really do. I think there's lots of candidates. Michael Backlund has worn a letter for this team before. And who knows, maybe with Matt Stajan coming back, he gets a letter. I'm not sure, because Jiri Hudler wore it as well last night.
Yeah, Hudler and Weidman
joined Russell. Yeah. So I think there were candidates, but the fact that he was given back, and I'll say this, if you listen to this program, you can, if you want to try and read things in, you could, because I had no problem at trade deadline saying, look, Curtis Glencross isn't here, Sven Berchi aren't, neither of these guys are here. Both of those guys couldn't get on the same page with the coach. He didn't have the trust. He didn't have the faith in him. He has trust. We talk about this all the time. Paul Byron has his trust. He gives Paul Byron, Josh Juris, his trust. Dennis Weidman is a guy, Pat, and I think this speaks to Bob Hartley as well, is been able to win the trust back.
Yeah.
He's been able to go. So you can't just say, I don't like him anymore. I cast him aside. He's grown, whatever you want to say. I think it's a good story, and I think it's an important story.
Well, and I mean, you go back to about 18 months ago when he started last season. He had his trust there. I remember.
Absolutely,
I remember how many good things Bob Hartley was saying about Weidman's play at the beginning of last season. But then I remember we were at the Stampede Corral watching a practice, and we got the release, and Sean Monahan and Dennis Weidman both had injuries on that release.
Yep.
And ever since that injury, you know, or at least last season, from that point until the end of last season, he really struggled. Coming back, he struggled and never was the same guy. And so he was able to win the trust back. And whether or not it was sitting as a healthy scratch that woke him up, whether it was something else that got him back, I don't know what it is, but it's important, and it's been very important for the team this year, and it's going to be even more important in the final 19 games of the season.
But let's talk about giving him the alternate captaincy. I mean, this is not a decision made lightly. And I think more than anything, the ice time, as you say, is, you know, it's been going that way anyway. It's been trending that way. But I think this is a really interesting decision. And I think, again, come back to it, speaks well of the man.
And let's not forget, he's a veteran player. He's, you know, one of the few guys with some pretty decent NHL playoff success, and he's, you know, been able to be on some teams that have, you know, gone a little bit deeper in the postseason.
Right.
So, you know, I think that plays into it too. I mean, this team is going about it, going about their business, and Bob Hartley has been going out of his way so that they go about their business like a playoff team. We're thinking about the playoffs. We're thinking about our seeding, all of that, and to have a guy who has playoff experience, and a guy, I don't think it's any coincidence that Jiří Hudler's the other guy who got it. I mean, Jiří Hudler's a Stanley Cup winner. Jiří Hudler's a guy who's gone deep in postseasons before as well. I don't think there's any coincidence those two guys are given letters after Gio and Glenn Cross leave.
And you know, but I would say the difference there, Pat, is that he, you know, and I'm not talking about their persona with the media or anything like that. I'm just talking that it's become quite clear in the last couple of years that there's far more to Jiří Hudler than we see. You know, there was so much made last year about him taking Sean Monahan into the beginning of the year, doing that type of thing. If you see, you know, around him on the road, he's one of those guys that brings young guys to the rink and is around with young guys, you know, with Johnny Gaudreau and things like that. I get that. I see that. Dennis Weidman's always been an interesting study to me because, you know, you can look at him and you can dismiss him as, well, you know, he's this, he's that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, at this juncture of the season, for the captain or the coach to come up and say, you know, we're putting a letter on him, it just speaks to the things that we don't see behind the scenes and how his teammates look at him. This is a tight group. You don't make mistakes in this room. You can't put the wrong guy in the wrong position.
And now Dennis Weidman's going to have to be just as strong or stronger
in the absence
of Mark Giordano.
Yeah.
Like if they're going to want to truly make up for his loss, he's going to have to be even better. Chris Russell's going to have to be even better. And that's asking a lot from these guys because they've been good. And TJ Brody has, through two games, really elevated his game. He's been outstanding. Like, outstanding in the two games.
That's
Mark
a four-hour
Giordano
show. We could do a four-hour show
on Brody.
I mean, the way he's playing right now, Pat, we would have never sat here last year and gone, well, you know, maybe Mark Giordano in the Norris Trophy conversation one day. You know, we liked him. He's a good guy. He's this, he's that. But I don't think you were having that kind of conversation with, about Mark Giordano. I think you can start to ask that question. I mean, is it out of the realm of possibility a year or two from now, maybe even this year? He's got to produce offensively, I suppose, to get that trophy. But, boy, he's turning into quite a defenseman, isn't he?
Well, absolutely. And I think right now he's one of the – I think Brody is in the same conversation right now as players like Jake Muzzin, as players like Victor Hedman, as players – I'm trying to think of others who would be Jonas Brodin, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, like young defensemen.
But you still haven't brought up a name that I'd take in front instead of him.
No, but I bet you in some of these other cities, you know, they'd be thinking the same thing, right?
Oh, like, I agree.
I
think
they're
all kind of
like, I think Tampa would say, no, we'd rather have
Hedman than
Brody.
And they went,
no, we'd rather have Brody than
Hedman.
But I think they're all kind of in that same mix right now. Muzzin's maybe a little bit older, but believe you me, that guy is one hell of a defenseman and is a really, really important piece of the Kings. But no, Brody, Hedman, Brodin, Ekman-Larsson, I'm trying to think of other defensemen.
Not to bog down in an argument here, but I'm not disagreeing with you about Muzzin, but Muzzin's never going to replace Doughty, right?
No.
And No, he wouldn't be because he's older than – I was going to say he's older than Doughty. So
and that's why I took him out of the conversation because he's a little bit older, whereas Brody's 24 years old.
Right, and he's going to be
– Hedman's, I think, 23.
At some point, you all things being equal, it looks like Brody continues to play the way he's playing. He's going to be this team's number one defenseman.
And the same – absolutely. And, right. And I think all those four guys that I mentioned, Brodin, Ekman-Larsson, Hedman, Brody – could all, you know, you don't have to squint and be like, eh, maybe. Like, oh, yeah, they could win a Norris Trophy one day. I don't think it's out of the question at all that one of those four guys could, or maybe at some point in their career, all four of them are in Norris Trophy contention. I think Brody is right there in that mix. He's and he's just continuing to take more and more and more steps.
Just back to Weidman for a second, and maybe you can include Brody in this. Now with Mark Giordano going, Weidman's goals, I'm not saying is necessarily his offense, but his goals have been streaky at best this year. Do they need more consistent offense out of now that Giordano? I mean, this has been the second best offensive blue line in the National Hockey League this year. Is it too much to ask for guys to pick up the slack offensively? Because so much of the offense for this team has been generated from there. It's hard to kind of avoid that conversation, isn't it?
Yeah, although I think that what we've seen of late is some of that offense has started to fall away on the back end because specifically with the blue line, all those shots in the first few months of the season that were going in off the point, you're kind of that can't just continue to happen, right? So I think it would be a little bit too much to ask to be like, no, you guys need to be more involved offensively, because I think they're involved. I think that even if the points aren't being talked about, they're involved offensively. Overtime goal last night. Gaudreau makes a great play at the offensive blue line, and then Brody goes in and goes wide and sets up Hudler, and he was in on rushes all game against the New York Islanders. I think they're involved in the offense.
But it's something that Dennis Weidman said in the clip coming into this segment is when you are asked to play more time, when you have to take up the slack, and you're going from 22 minutes to 30 minutes, you are thinking more consciously about when you jump. That's just that's natural. And your point, this has been a blue line that early on scored from the back end, but more often than not, their D-men have been jumping up, especially in overtime four-on-four situations. I think you're going to be a little bit more selective about that when you're playing more minutes, as Weidman said. I don't know if it is realistic. They still need to find ways to get offense. They managed to get three goals last night, and that was enough to win. But, you know, I heard Rhett Warren. I don't know if you heard Rhett this morning, but Rhett said, kind of got to shut it down a bit. You know, you got to shut teams down now. You can't play. There were some games early on that they were happy to exchange opportunities with you. Not sure you can play that way the rest of the
way. Well, when I go back to the beginning of the hour, when I said there's some ominous trends, look, I haven't liked the way the Flames have played in their overall game for 3 or 4 weeks here. I mean, they've been, you know, routinely routinely on the back foot, and there's been very few games. I think you can count the Minnesota game, maybe the Vancouver game. I can't think of very many games where they've kind of been the team that's dictating, and it seems to be more It seems to be more prevalent now than it has been at any other time of the season.
I guess I take umbrage with that in this regard. I think, are you talking about a 60-minute game? Because they had the Flyers on their heels last night for the first part of that game.
Yeah, I'm talking about 60 minutes.
I just don't know how many times this team has played a game this year they have controlled the tempo and the pace from the outset.
And I guess I look at it and I see 5 straight games where they've been outshot.
Right.
And in 3 of those 5 games, the shots have been approaching 40.
Yeah.
So remember that, for how long the – and I know that shots still mean something when you're getting up around 40 shots.
Well, you can't say, shots, and then tell me about their shooting percentage and their save percentage not being sustainable. It's one or the other. Either they're important or they're not important. They all go into the same thing.
And that's
I'm not talking about you.
I know. Yeah. And that's why I say, you can't be allowing – 40 shots per game.
I agree.
So that's a little troubling, and they're still not generating a ton of offense. So, you know, before they were defending really well.
Yeah.
They were keeping things to the outside a lot. They haven't been doing that as well of late. So I think those are the biggest challenges now, to get back to being that. Because I don't think the generating offense thing, I don't think that we're just all of a sudden going to see that click and they're going to be 4 goals a game and spending all the time in the offensive zone. They got to get back to their details defensively.
I'll tell you what would be a modest incremental improvement, and I think it would make a world of difference. It's flatten out the starts and flatten out the ends. because either they're jumping out to really good starts or they're falling behind quickly. And if they're falling behind quickly, then they're pushing really hard at the end. If they've fallen, if they've jumped out early, then they're protecting at the end. You know, easy to say, look, my God, they're still in this race, and that's a positive.
Hey, if the season ends today, they're playing Vancouver in round one right now.
And you don't think people would care about that?
Nope. No, I don't think anybody would care.
We are live at the 2015 Brier here at the Dome. Just bring you up to speed. Games now into the fifth end. Saskatchewan, Northern Ontario are tied at 2. Team Canada leading Ontario 2-1. After 4, Quebec leading Manitoba 3-2. And after 3, Newfoundland all over Alberta 4-1. So not great news for Kevin Cooey as we speak, but lots of curling left. And obviously the Brier building do a big weekend. All kinds of things to come down. As I said before, this is, and it needs to be on your bucket list. If you've never been to a Brier, come down and check it out. You brought up something I thought was interesting is, you know, the Roughnecks play here. And if you've never been to a lacrosse game, the first time you go to a lacrosse game, it kind of hits you like a wet fish. It's different. It's not a hockey game. It's, you know what I mean? The music's going all the time. It's loud and everything. This coming here kind of reminds me, or the example I would, if you've never been to a curling event or never been to the Brier, it's kind of like coming to your first baseball game, except they're playing four of them. And you're kind of poking in on everything.
Yeah.
You might be watching this. I might be watching that. That crowd's cheering over there. You're hearing this skip here. It's a lot of fun. It really is.
And again, you either love it or you hate it. Because you're like, if you love it, you'll come back and you're hooked. And otherwise, you're like, no, I'd rather watch on TV. But I think you got to go at least once to check out a Brier and just to or a Scotties and just to see what, you know, these – this is high-end curling, and it's very, very best. And you should come at least once. Tickets at the door are starting at $25, and it's an affordable, fun evening slash afternoon, however you want to look at it.
I'll say this. It's a sport with a challenge. It needs to grow its fan base at the younger level. I know my youngest, her school was here this morning. That's good. I love the fact they're bringing schools in to watch and hopefully creating the next generation of curling fans. It's like anything else. You got to work to keep your fans, right? You got to work to cultivate the next group. We'll take a break when we come back. What a wild and wacky 24 hours if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs, and that impacted the Florida Panthers. We'll tell you how next on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boudreau sprints through, makes a great move, shoots, and he scores! What a shot by Johnny Hockey!
Calgary Flames Radio.
Brody to Giordano, and he scores!
Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
It's a stop in an original six city. The Boston Bruins are next up for the Flames. Pre-game goes Thursday live from Shanks at 4. Play-by-play at 5.
On air every time the Flames hit the ice.
Hi, this is Mark Giordano. Catch every game all season long on Calgary Flames Radio, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Calgary Flames hockey is brought to you by South Point Toyota Scion and Tip Top Tailors.
Hi, I'm Peter Marr. Are you thinking about a new roof this year? Are you concerned about hail damage? Do you want to do it once and not worry about it again? Not long ago, I replaced my own roof with EuroShield's EuroLite Shake, and I no longer worry about my roof. It comes in great-looking slate and shake profiles, has the highest rating attainable against hail impact, and comes with a lifetime warranty. And you can put that in the win column.
Visit EuroShield Rubber Roofing at EuroShieldRoofing.com.
Hi, I'm TJ Brody. On the ice, experience, hard work, and dedication is paramount to our success. When it comes to your car buying experience, you want to put your trust in the team that embraces these very same qualities. At Macklin Ford, they do. You'll always get the best deals on Fords and be treated like family every time you walk in the door. It's why Macklin Ford has been successful in business since 1917. Macklin Ford, now with the TJ Brody stamp of approval. In the Calgary Auto Mall, Deerfoot, and Glenmore.
Sportsnet 960, The Fan, proud home of the Calgary Flames in the National Hockey League. We've got your way into the Dome for every Flames home game. Fan Club members, use your points to enter to win great seats to Flames hockey. Enter often, it's easy and free. Sportsnet.ca/960 to become a Fan Club member. Flames tickets from Calgary Flames Radio, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hi guys, Greg Eagleson here, General Manager of Cam Clark Ford at Airdrie. Now listen to this. If you're in a lease, any type of lease, and you've got 6 months or less left in it, there's a 90% chance that we can get you out of that lease, make your remaining payments. So call the experts at Cam Clark Ford and Airdrie. just minutes north of the city, but miles from all the pressure.
Head to Cam Clark Ford in Airdrie, still just 10 minutes north of Calgary on Highway 2, or see camclarkford.com for details.
Alpine Credits, how can I help you?
Yes, I'm a homeowner and I'd like to apply for...
Approved. Approved.
Home.
Approved.
Equity.
Approved.
Loan.
You know, you had me at homeowner.
Own your home? Alpine Credits will approve most home equity loan applications, regardless of your credit rating or employment history. Alpine Credits. Homeowners get approved. Visit alpinecredits.ca. Some conditions apply.
When making the decision to buy, one must ask themselves, do you want to own a home or have the bank own you? With condos and townhomes in New Brighton starting in the low 200s, The Elements by Cedar Glen Living gives you ownership without the high cost. Equipped with quartz countertops, engineered laminate, front load washer dryer, stainless steel appliances, and more. Quality homes, uncompromising standards, affordable living. Visit The Elements by Cedar Glen Living. Show home at 1075 New Brighton Drive Southeast.
Tuesday on City. It's an underworld of steaming and screaming, where steaks are seared and eyes are teared. There's paring knives and swearing wives, deep frying and grown men crying. And if you don't gut the competition like a fish, they'll be happy to throw you to the sharks if the head chef doesn't get you first. For those who can stand the heat, the gate has been reopened. Hell's Kitchen is back. Hell's Kitchen. 9 Tuesday on City.
Hi, this is Mark Giordano, captain of the hardest working team. Varsity Chrysler and I are looking for Calgary's hardest working vehicle during the first big deal event on now at Varsity. Show us your clunker and you can win $5,000 cash.
Hurry down to Varsity for Calgary's lowest prices guaranteed on all Ram trucks and Jeep 4x4s, starting at under $20,000 and payments as low as $96.
If you or a friend enters, you could win $5,000 cash and your buddy can win $1,000 cash. No purchase necessary.
Bring your junk down to Varsity Chrysler or go to varsitychrysler.com or Facebook for contact. Entry and shop where Geo shops.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan is home for the fan club, an easy way to reward yourself for listening to your sports radio. Collect points by entering the secret seats. Hear the secret seats weekdays at 7:25 a.m., 9:25 a.m., 1:25 p.m., 4:25 p.m., and 9:25 p.m. It's easy and free. The fan club secret seats are brought to you by Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. Catch every hockey game and enjoy game day specials at Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, 6060 Memorial Drive North. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary's hockey station.
Calgary, you love hockey, and so do we. It's right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, proud home of the National Hockey League. Kerr Steinberg, The Big Show, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Obviously, we're really concerned. I mean, we're playing a pretty good game, and all of a sudden, boom, boom, you lose two goalies right quick. And fortunately for us, both of them were able to return and, you know, play some of the game. And Bobby didn't have to go in there, but there was a lot of confusion going on, to tell you the truth. You know, I mean, we didn't know the status of Louis, and, you know, Monty comes in there, and all of a sudden, you know, he hurts his groin, and, you know, and he battles hard, and he competes hard, and he plays hard, and then all of a sudden you're thinking, well, if he's that sore in there, you know, what are we going to do? You don't want to get him hurt any worse than he is. For me, it's not about me. It's about the doctors and the training staff clearing him, make sure he's okay. And like I said, I don't want to put somebody in that's hurt. And we had two guys that were, you know, somewhat hurt. And we wanted to make sure. And we didn't really get a good feed on what our options were.
I got to be honest with you. My plan last night did not involve spending too much time worrying about the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Florida Panthers. Assuming the Maple Leafs' futility on the road would hold true, assuming that the Panthers, who were 2 points back of Boston for a playoff spot in the East, it seemed like a fait accompli. You'd probably get the best of the Panthers and you'd get the typical from what has become a really rough year for the Maple Leafs, and this thing would go quietly into the night. Well, it was far from that. You mentioned second screen viewing a little earlier when we were talking about it off the air, and that's how I found about it. Twitter just blew up in the third period. Roberto Luongo took a shot off the mask in the first. Struggled after that. Montoya came in, close hockey game. All of a sudden, he's hurt, and now in a big, giant break. They stopped the game. At one point, Derek McKenzie's name came up as a possible replacement. They were talking about grabbing somebody out of the stands. And then the next thing we knew, Rob Tallis, who hadn't played a game since I think it was 2001, but is the goalie coach in Florida, he's dressing. And then there's pictures of Roberto Luongo in his street clothes behind the bench. And eventually, if I had, now you can correct me, Pat, but Roberto Luongo goes back into this game at one point.
Yeah, he finished the game.
He finished the game. It was a clearly...
Because Montoya could barely move.
And that was evident on the... did he get hurt on the game winner, or couldn't move on the game winner? That's where I break down a little bit.
That's a good question. Josh, does he get hurt on the game winner, or does he... now, that's... I don't remember, because I wasn't able to see it live, so I can't remember off the top of my head. Regardless, he was hurt.
The first goal that they scored there, he was hurt, and then he couldn't continue after that.
Okay.
I mean, it's the situation that we all giggle about. It's the situation which we all... You know, as soon as one goalie gets hurt, what happens here? Or, you know, in the case of we've seen that a couple of times here at the Dome where a goalie doesn't get here on time because of travel, so you have to, you know, put a university goalie in. Whoa, what if he plays? That sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was fascinating theater last night. And to hear the options and to hear everybody pontificate about it. And look, the Panthers aren't out of the woods yet. They're chasing a playoff spot. They had to recall two goalies today. Dan Ellis, who, he's got some NHL experience, but nothing that jumps off the page at you. And they had to go all the way down to the East Coast League and get Sam Britton, formerly the Canmore Eagles, who is a Calgary kid, played University of Denver. He's down in the ECHL. They brought him up. Boy, we can talk about other injuries because I think they're becoming a story elsewhere, but that was just fascinating theater last night.
Well, yeah, because the possibility was there for kind of goaltender apocalypse. Like that, when's the last time we've seen that need to happen where the guy actually – because I don't remember earlier this year we had the Dwayne Rolison situation.
Right.
Where he was close and that.
Right.
But again, that didn't come to it. Well, this almost came to it. And Luongo kind of was like, no, I got to go back out there. We were that close to a, 40-plus goaltender coach going in there and having to be forced to play. And, you know, how incredible would that have been if it actually happens? And you know, even think about it. Like, what does happen if that's the case? How many goals are scored? Do the Leafs just go right into shooting gallery mode? Like, I have no – can you imagine if you know, Jordan Sigalet or Clint Malarchuk in recent years had to go – like, as the opposing team, you're like, okay, sorry, sucks for you, but we're going to try and take advantage of this.
I would almost guarantee you, and I don't know this, so this is just me going out on a limb. I would almost guarantee you that the Calgary Flames don't play a home game without thought of a third goaltender. That's somebody's job, even if it's just, we know here's a cell phone number or whatever, he's in the building, we know who's around, or if this happens, that happens, or whatever. You know, we've seen cases in the past where somebody gets hurt and all of a sudden they're looking or calling or whatever. And then there's the odd time where a prospect's in the, I've seen that too, where a draft pick or whatever is in the crowd watching the game. And I'm not saying they have them at all 41 home games, but I think in Canada it's probably realistic to expect that, you know, you probably would have somebody who's at least put on goalie skates before. The problem, Derek McKenzie, would be if you put a player on there, I'm assuming you would put them in regular skates and they'd be a couple inches off the ground, the ice, so all you'd have to do is fire the puck along the ice. It really gets the juices flowing.
There was a great tweet that came out last night, and it was like, putting a forward in net, why didn't we think of that? Signed Buffalo Sabres.
Oh, hey now.
That was pretty fun.
Lots of speculation about what the Panthers would do. I know Bob McKenzie from TSN tweeted out earlier today that, you know, Dale Tallon will look at a trade, and then he retracted that a little bit, and there's a little bit of gray area. I know this. If you know anyone, Alan Walsh was doing this on Monday. I don't know why everybody calls this the trade deadline. You can still make trades after this deadline. They just can't play. Okay. You know, it's one of those things. Everybody's got that friend, right? He knows everything, wants to tell you everything, wants to correct you. And you know, there's certain people around here that remind you all the time. Oh, no, it's not the trade deadline. It's just, you know, for playoff purposes.
I've never had anybody remind me of that until today.
Okay, there you go. Right across the bow. No fun, and I'm always telling you stuff. I guess we're learning about Mr. Cowbell over here. The one thing that came up, we were talking about
Am I Mr. Cowbell?
We were talking about Marty Turco, Pat. You go back to 2012. After the trade deadline, Tuukka Rask got hurt. The Boston Bruins signed Marty Turco. He was able to back up Tim Thomas the rest of the way, but could not play in the postseason.
Right.
So, you know, and let's be perfectly honest, we eagerly await information coming out of Florida, but I don't think they're looking for a long-term solution. The biggest problem is the here and now. If you're the Panthers, you can't fall out of this right
now.
Well,
that's the most important thing is that, you know, when Turco came in, the Bruins, I believe, were in a little bit of a goaltending pinch, so they needed him to maybe just kind of get them to the playoffs and be able to kind of stem the tide until they got healthy again.
Right.
Well, in this case, we're talking about a Florida team that now might need a guy to be a number one because we don't know what the long-term prognosis is on either Montoya or Luongo. So you're 2 points back of the Boston Bruins for a playoff spot right now, and you can't afford to just be like, all right, well, we'll see what this kid's got, and if that doesn't work, we'll see what he's all about.
Yep.
No, you've got to be confident in your goaltender. So